It's Sal Capaccio.
I make a special Capaccio for you, right?
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, Carpaccio, no good?
What do you do now?
They don't like a Carpaccio.
They like Capaccio.
Oh. On WGR.
I make a Capaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
The Bills at number one. It is list season, right? The Bills at number one in the reverse AFC power rankings. Just before, when there isn't any news, make some. How about that? Sal Capaccio with me now on the Western Hotline. Bulldog is off. This is Mike Shope. And Sal, I'm told, has a question for me. Let's put it that way.
I do. And it relates to what you're talking about. It's incredible that you're talking about this today. And you said before the break, you're going to ask me about, is it the Bills, top of the AFC? Matt Bovey and I just recorded an Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast. I'm not kidding. I just uploaded it within the half hour. And we had Jeremy Kahn on from Baltimore, who you've had on. And this was the topic. Are the Bills and the Ravens the best two teams in the AFC?
Amazing.
And we kind of went through all of this a little bit. And I said, look, he does a gambling podcast, Jeremy, as you know. Like, you know, they are the two favorites. Is that justified? And he said, yes, he thinks so. And I don't think there's anything wrong with having the Bills number one. I don't think there's anything wrong with having them two or three. I think after that, it gets a little dicey. They should be near the top, if not at the top. I don't think it's any, you know, anything that's controversial. The AFC is very, very, I think, wide open with a select number of teams. You know, and it's really the teams that have the best quarterbacks. And that's the Bills, the Ravens, the Bengals. I think, of course, the Chiefs, if Patrick Mahomes, you know, was able to play. Beyond that, there's some question marks, right? C.J. Stroud, we know that their roster is very good. I agree with you. Denver is very, very good. But what about the quarterback? I think that's a good question. Mm-hmm. You know, can the Patriots, you know, get back to what they were? Anyway, we're going through this, Mike, and I asked Jeremy about Derrick Henry, and then I went and looked, and here's my question for you. This is amazing to me. Derrick Henry is the active leader in rushing attempts. He has 2,662. Who's number two? And about how many do you think? He has over 2,600, and he's number one of active rushing leaders.
Oh, boy. This won't be easy for me. Thinking about, like, there's somebody maybe just hanging on. Is it somebody that, like, where does this player get better than that?
Yeah, better than that, I would say, because the hangers on are 4 and 5. Joe Mixon and Alvin Kamara.
How about James Conner?
No, he's down in the 1,300 area. He's number 11.
Who else am I never drafting? Whoever this is somebody I'm never drafting. Kareem Hunt. Is he still active?
Yes, he is. He's tied. He's literally tied with James Conner. I'm not kidding you.
Is that right?
93.
I'm really honed in on 11th place.
You are.
On this list.
There are two really good running backs, you know, near the top of the list that you know of.
McCaffrey, Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs is number two. Okay. Josh Jacobs is number two in active rushing attempts. What's amazing is Henry has 2,662. Number two has 1,840.
Wow.
800 less.
I had from our conversation yesterday, I had the page open with the rushing touchdown leaders all time, and Henry is fourth. And he's, I think, one away from third, Marcus Allen. So he'll, barring some big injury, he'll easily get into the top three this year. Okay. Yeah, Jacobs, I just never. I mean, I don't know what my problem is. Somebody tells me that X running back is inefficient, and that's always been Jacobs. You know, he had one big year for the Raiders. But, you know, efficiency-wise, now we had this with Henry. We have this with McCaffrey now. We have this with a lot of the players we like. And, you know, you guys don't realize that actually they were not that efficient. Just volume. Well, volume is king in fantasy. And really, I mean, it's not that nothing else matters, but I need to be more focused on that.
Number three on this list is Saquon Barkley. And, I mean, he obviously had a monster year 2 years ago, over 2,000 yards. But, Mike, like, I'm looking at his page. Outside of that year, he sandwiched. So 24, he has 2,005 yards. Mm-hmm. But in 23 and 25, 3.9 and 4.1 yards per attempt.
Right. Yeah, and he missed a year, didn't he? I mean, he's missed time with the Giants where he could be higher on this list, but you know, that's also part of the equation when it comes to running backs. Well, Barkley, again, like, not to make it about fantasy, but Barkley is mid second round. So is Chase Brown. So is Omarion Hampton. So sometimes is Achan. So sometimes is Jenty. So is Kenneth Walker. Cook is higher. I mean, Jenty and Cook are close. But Walker, Hampton, Brown, and Barkley are kind of together. And Barkley is last for me on that list, simply because of the mileage. So, well, who would be, if you did your own, and you're just off of doing this maybe, this has happened a bunch of times, by the way. Often, Sal will come on and be like, we just talked about this on my podcast. So that's funny. And, you know, probably flatters each of us, because, you know, you're thinking a certain way. Who would be number one for you in the AFC? Because I think Denver is really interesting for what's already been said here. Because, you know, listen to Mina Kimes, right? Like, everybody loves Denver's team. Is Knicks Allen or even May or Mahomes or Jackson or Burrow? Like, no. But maybe what was last year then for Denver? Like, he was good enough to get the one seed.
I think Denver has the best roster outside of quarterback in the AFC. But the quarterback's a big deal. It's the most important position. And there are questions about how, you know, he needs to carry that team at times. And he's had some great moments. But he's also had some moments where you're like, yeah, but, you know, that's not really the kind of guy that you can lean on when things go tough. So I'd be tempted to put Denver number one. I mean, they went 14-3 last year, right? I mean, they and New England, right, had very, very good seasons. And they were a really good coach. They have an excellent roster. I'd be tempted to put them number one. I would have a hard time putting the Bills, I think, anywhere below two, but maybe three. I guess two or three, because you could make an argument for Baltimore. It would really depend on what you think about, you know, Lamar staying healthy, because he's an excellent football player. He's just got to stay healthy, and he's missed some time here and there, games here, games there. Now, Jeremy Kahn, who you've had on and we just had on the podcast today, he really, really raved about, like, the coaching changes. He wanted Harbaugh gone. And he believes that Jesse Minter is a guy that's going to do really well with this roster. And he pointed to I can't remember how you say his name, the player they traded last year from Baltimore to the Rams. And, like, he went from doing kind of nothing with the Ravens to becoming a guy who got to the passer. Like, okay, this guy can unlock what you need to unlock on defense. And, oh, by the way, you're going to have a Ben Johnson-type offense with Lamar Jackson running it. So it just looks like the parts are there for him, you know, and I can respect that. So I think Bills and Ravens and Broncos kind of put him in the Yahtzee Cup and roll the dice.
Okay. What about the Chargers? What's the AFC West? What would your predicted order of finish be in the AFC West?
I'd have to know about Mahomes' injury. I mean, are we really thinking he's going to be healthy from day one, week one?
I am, but I don't know.
Okay. I think then I would probably put them number two behind Denver. I like Denver better because I just don't know if Kansas City has quite the horsepower now. I mean, Kenneth Walker's a really nice ad for them, right? I really like that a lot. But man, the receivers, there are some questions. They have lost some stuff on defense. And, you know, I mean, even if Mahomes is quote unquote healthy, you wonder about that. And then I think the Chargers are just this team. I was thinking about this today when you and Joe were going through the exercise and I was listening and Joe's like, when am I going to stop believing in the Chargers? That's kind of all of us, right? And it just feels to me like I know this isn't actually the right way to put it. Almost like the Chargers are just happy to be there, right? Yeah, we're in the conversation. We should be good. Yeah, we're not really that good. Or we're not as good as everybody thought. And it just fizzles all the time. And I guess I'm just going to start thinking that that's the case until they prove me otherwise.
Yeah, that's probably been sort of the opposite of my running back fantasy point. I'll be ready to lose whenever it is that I lose, but I'm going to stay here until I get beat. And that's sort of betting against LA or, you know, in the opposite of what I do in fantasy is bet against old running backs. And, you know, sometimes it's actually correct.
I do like Cincinnati and I do like Houston for, like, a lot of what they bring to the table, but each of them have their own question. And Cincinnati's just defense, right? If they're going to win a lot of high scoring games, but they did improve. I mean, Dexter Lawrence is going to help them. You know, the quarterback health is a big deal.
My prediction is not exactly to that question, that we're going to have the same conversations and frustrations this year in terms of the Bills and the one seed. Because the AFC North, whether Baltimore or Cincinnati, whoever's better, they're both schedule-wise very well-positioned to roll. And that's if Pittsburgh and Cleveland are down, especially, you know, if Pittsburgh is down, because that's four of their games, of course, those two teams for each, you know, example. But they have the AFC South and they have the NFC South, and that's the jackpot. And the Bills playing the schedule they play, I mean, they'll do well. We've talked about this. They'll do well to get out of the first 5 weeks 3-2.
Yep.
You know?
That's right.
And it feels like every year is the same, whether it's Kansas City or Denver or New England or Baltimore the one year where they dominated the conference. We just can't seem to be able to reach out and touch the one seed. And if the Steelers are good, and if, like, say, Jacksonville is good and maybe Atlanta or Tampa is good, you know, then that will change this equation. But otherwise, I think, especially if one to the other of Baltimore and Cincinnati isn't that good. Cincinnati is favored in the preseason lines in 15 games. The Bengals, 15 out of 17 games. Right now, you can bet them all. They're favored in 15 games. Like, they were 6-11. So it might be another one of these years where, like Denver last year and New England with their schedule, just make it very tough for the Bills to come out on top.
Yeah, it's actually one thing that when we were looking at the Ravens schedule, I pulled it up when Jeremy was on the air, and I'm like, oh, let me just kind of go over the schedule with them. And then I'm looking and going, wait a minute, like, they're kind of, like, they don't really have these tests until the middle of the year. And they start off Colts, Saints, Cowboys, who, you know, might are respectable, I think, but Titans, Falcons, Browns. And then it goes Bengals, Bills, Jags, Chargers, right? That's the meat of their schedule of, you know, okay. And I think that's where we landed. Even Jeremy said it. Like, yeah, I think by then, like, they have a good chance to get off to a good start. And then by then, you're kind of going to start to feel, you know, who they are, basically. But their middle's a little tougher, but you're right, Mike. Like, there's opportunity there for these teams in the AFC Central.
This time of year, we're writing our articles and making sort of the broader predictions. And some such article might be, maybe this has already been done, it probably has. Bill Barnwell, I think of, for this kind of thing. Like, what is every team's big question? You know, like, what is it about the Bills that would be the big thing that's going to tip the scales one way or another? Do you have an answer ready for that?
For the Bills?
Yes.
I think it's the coaching changes. And that includes the head coach as a head coach, even though we know the offense shouldn't change much. But I think the defense, like, do they have the big question is, and we can pick apart a position. We could talk about receiver, we could talk about, you know, third corner, whatever, linebacker. I think the big looming question for me is, does Jim Leonard have the parts and the pieces he needs to do what he wants to do on defense? Or are they just kind of, let's just hope it all works out and Josh Allen can outscore everybody?
Yeah, you know, I feel like that's right. I just am always kind of reticent to pointing to defense. If you're writing one of these columns, you can't just never mention defense. So, yes, there will be some teams where you would need to do that. I have a tough time with this with them, Sal, because I think, and I don't mean this as a cop-out, we can come up with all kinds of different things to talk about here, but I think that probably, like it's been for a few years running, it's a good enough team to get to that spot in the postseason, and then what happens when they're in that spot. Mm-hmm. And that's really tough to, so to speak, game plan for out here. It's really tough on Brandon Bean, you know? Like, what exactly do they need to be different at that, you know, hasn't been what they needed before? And we talk about pass rush for this in the playoffs, and they couldn't get Bo Nix to the ground. We talk about receivers all the time for this. You know, you can only do so much. Not that I'm here to compliment Bean on his, you know, master plan at receiver, but it's really a micro point, I think, that this time you got to hope that if they're good enough to make it to the second round again or farther, like they've done every year for years running, that's still amazing to say, by the way, but it's true. Can they make the play and win the game when it comes down to that? They did that in Jacksonville, to their credit. I mean, that's the Bills' first road win since 1992.
Yeah,
so at least they did that. But they put themselves in a spot by having to go on the road in the first round in that case.
No, that's right. I you know me. I've said this a few times. I'm going to continue to believe this. I think you're going to get more big plays and give up more big plays on defense. It's going to be a more of a risk-reward type of defense, but I also think they're going to intentionally live life like that on offense. And you're going to see spikes in numbers, I think, from Josh Allen. I think passing touchdown, probably touchdowns, maybe interceptions, like things that you like and things you don't like, and they're going to go up because I think they're going to want to be more aggressive because the head coach wants to be more aggressive and because they might feel they have to be more aggressive because they're playing a tougher schedule and they can't just say to everybody, we're just going to make you drive 10 minutes every time you get the ball and make a mistake. And they're going to give up a few, you know, big plays here and there.
Right. Will you watch the All-Star game?
Yeah, I will when we get home tonight. We have playoff baseball tonight.
Oh, you already had an All-Star game then. You already had
Did you see the controversy of the home run derby last night?
No. I sat down to watch it. It's Netflix, of course, right?
Yes.
So you got to pay your $20 a month to watch the home run derby now. I sat down. Sal, you know, you don't have to respect this. I find the home run derby really boring.
Yeah, it used to be more fun than it is for me now, too. But apparently what happened was, and I did see this, conspiracy theory, Netflix actually put on the screen before the semifinals, Jordan Walker, and underneath his name put 2026 Home Run Derby champion. That did happen, right? And then he won it. Number two, they have these balls they were using at the very end. And there were certain balls that gave you a chance to, they had red striping on them.
Yep.
So if you get one swing left, you hit it out, you get another. You hit it out, you get another. And he was down, he kept hitting it. But then the person throwing him the batting practice actually twice threw him a regular white ball. And apparently people are like, well, you're not supposed to do that. And those white balls, you can see them better. So, yeah, there's some controversy in the home run derby.
Oh, well, enjoy that out there if you're into that.
Yeah.
I do like, as a fantasy player, I really have enjoyed Jordan Walker's ascent this year, though. Like, that was a very, very high prospect who couldn't hit for 3 years, maybe. And then St. Louis hung in there. They don't have a great team. And he has really been a great story this year. So I was happy to hear that he won. But I couldn't watch it. I don't know. I didn't get past Contreras. Contreras was hitting home run after home run. I'm like, why am I watching this? Why?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I could really build a good argument, but I just don't really like it. Okay, I'd rather watch this soccer game. All right. Thank you for your time, Sal. We'll talk again, I guess, on Thursday, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks.
Okay. Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. His appearance is brought to you by Outlet Liquor. Your place, the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? I'm Mike Shope. Cody Tapp, Kansas City, coming up at 4. More on the AFC. Get into some Sabres as well. This is WGR.